Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Matthew chapter 16. We will focus our attention on verses 24 through 26. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. As you are finding that passage of scripture, I've noticed, and I don't know, maybe you have noticed this too, but I have recently noticed that we live in a really noisy world, that there is noise everywhere. Our ears are constantly being stimulated by one sound or another. And we've gotten so accustomed to hearing noise that some of us are uncomfortable in silence. Come on. So you always got to have something on, either a radio or the TV or a fan that's humming. You have to have something on. Y'all know, y'all laughing because y'all know. I'm talking to myself. I must have something in the background all the time. Our world is so noisy that you have to be intentional about finding a quiet space, a place to go where there is no noise. And the capitalists have realized that in all this noise, we are seeking silence. So I've been seeing advertisements about companies that are offering what they call silent retreats, which for an introvert is a blessing. You get to go somewhere and nobody can say anything to you. Nobody can look at you. It's just quiet for as long as you want. I said, sign me up. I'm not going to lie. I done registered to some of their blogs. I'm trying to find out where can I go to this silent retreat. Just me. Listen, my dream is to sit in the middle of the field, in the middle of nowhere, and just be alone with me. Anybody have that dream? Okay, that's it. Don't come to my retreat. When I find it, I'm not telling y'all. That's just going to be for me. So much noise around us. And this noise has become a major distraction. And whether we realize it or not, all of this noise has had a negative impact on our relationship with God. Because our ear is always hearing something, it becomes difficult for us to hear the voice of God. And all of the activity in our culture, it's getting worse. Over time, we become louder and louder and have more distractions now than we've ever had before. For example, in the year I was born, 1972, there were only 5 networks: ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and the CW. How many of y'all remember the CW? Okay, 1972. Now in 2019, there are over 200 channels. So we've gone from having 5 or 6 options to having 200 channels that we can watch. In 1972, and the young people, y'all know nothing about this, okay? But in 1972, TV went off at 12 midnight. Come on, somebody, all the old folks, y'all know TV go off. Oh, say, that song would come on. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light that TV went off and all you saw was snow. Star Spangled Banner, come on, you knew the lights out, it's time to go to bed. Huh? Y'all know that. And then the TV wouldn't come on again until about 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. But now in 2019, TV is on 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 366 days during leap year. And that didn't start until June the 20th, 1988. It hasn't been that long since we've been so distracted by TV. 1983, the internet was invented, and that was the kickoff of the information age, where whatever you wanted to know, you can find out on the internet. 2004, Facebook was created. A year before that, 2003, MySpace was created. How many of y'all know MySpace? MySpace was created. And since then, social media platforms have taken over our world. Since then, we have Twitter, LinkedIn, Google Plus, YouTube, Pinterest, Instagram, Tumblr, Flickr, Reddit, Snapchat, WhatsApp, Vine, Periscope, BizSugar, just to name a few. Anybody heard of BizSugar? I just found out about that one. And there's probably a 12-year-old in his room right now coming up with a new one that we'll be using in the future. No 12-year-olds in my house, but in your house. You got to see what your kids are doing. They're creating stuff that we're going to use in the future. So now whatever you want is at your fingertips. Now whatever you want to say, you can say it in your room, and it goes throughout the world. Everybody hears it. Since 1972, our culture has gained a lot. But all of this advancement in technology has not been good for us. If you look at our culture, not only have we gained technology and able to communicate and give information, but depression is up. Anxiety is up. Suicide is up. Bullying is up. It used to be a time where you went to school and you were bullied, but if you can get home, you'll be okay as long as you're at home. But now, because of social media, you're bullied at school and you're bullied in home. You have a bullying device right in your pocket called a cell phone. So it's increased. Because of that, suicide is up. Substance abuse and addictive behavior is up. And as connected as we are with social media, loneliness is up. Isolation is up. Violence is up. While all of these things are on the increase in our culture, respect is down. Loyalty is down. Honor is down. Commitment is down. Respect for human life and dignity is down. Now people will say stuff to you on Facebook that they would never say to your face. We've lost respect for each other. With the increase of these technologies, not only are these negative things increased, but some things have decreased. Like church attendance has decreased. And let me say for the record, church attendance is up in the other places in the world. The only nation where church attendance is down is America. That's why they're sending missionaries over here saying, "Return, oh backslider." Come on, somebody. Church attendance has technology up, but fellowship is down. Attendance is down. Connecting is down. Not only is church attendance down, but the amount of time people are willing to spend in church is down. There used to be a time where Sunday was the Lord's day, and you spent all day on Sunday in church. Don't get nervous. I don't want to go back to that. You don't have to worry about me, okay? But there was a time where I had 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock morning worship that didn't get out to 2:30. 4 o'clock afternoon service and 8 o'clock night service. Monday night was family prayer. Tuesday night was Bible study. Thursday night, the missionaries met, and every Friday night, the young people had a service, and on Saturday, we had activities. Every week. But nowadays, you get an hour and a half. I look at y'all 11:30, I look at y'all. I see your faces like, Pastor, you better bring this to an end. I've been here an hour and 25 minutes. You got 5 more minutes. Not all of y'all, some of y'all. But church was a priority. In my family, it was such a priority. When we went on vacation, wherever we were, we found a church to be at on Sunday morning. Because worshiping God was a priority for us. Huh? We wouldn't dare be at home on Sunday morning unless we were sick. But now, we have more things to do on Sunday. We have more options. There used to be a time when the stores were closed on Sunday. So you weren't going to the mall on Sunday because there was no mall to go to on Sunday. Used to be a time you couldn't buy alcohol on Sunday. Not that y'all buy alcohol, but there used to be a time that you couldn't buy alcohol on Sunday. Now you can. Used to be a time when you would go downtown on a Sunday morning and it would look like a ghost town because nothing was open. There used to be a time where they didn't have youth activities and sports on Sunday morning. Come on, but now every league has games on Sunday morning. Lord, help us. We've advanced, but we've lost more than what we've gained. And surveys show, I feel like I'm on Family Feud, but surveys show that even amongst believers, the amount of time that we spend in prayer, devotion, and worship has decreased. And we wonder why anxiety, depression, fear, abuse, and all these things are up in our culture. But can I tell you, it's not only up in our culture, but it's up in the church. There's a rise of these things in the church because we have access to all of these things. We have gained so much, but along the way, we've lost. Jesus, in Revelation chapter 3:17, Jesus said, when he looked at our day, he says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Jesus looked at our day and said, you have gained a lot. Income is up, technology is up, and you've gained a lot, but all of your gaining has blinded you from the fact that you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. That's why with all the technology that is up, so is depression and anxiety and all these negative ills, because these things have caused us to become blind to the fact that a good Facebook post does not make you not poor and wretched. Having access to information doesn't make you wise. Being able to purchase whatever you want to purchase doesn't make you rich. Jesus said, you are poor, you are blind, and you are wretched. And he wasn't talking to the world. He was talking to the church. Come on, read the Bible. He wasn't talking to those that don't know him. He was talking to those who claim his name. He said, you've gained so much, but you've lost. In this text today, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his crucifixion. He's getting ready to die, but he wants to encourage them to follow him no matter what. He knows that they are going to see so many distractions, so many things that can turn their heart from him. So he wants to give them information to make sure that they stay focused on him. And that is the message that I want to get across to you, that we have got to stay focused on Jesus. We have got to continue to follow him no matter what distractions come our way, no matter what new thing is invented. We've got to have our eyes focused on Jesus. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me." Jesus gives us three things that we have to do if we want to be his disciple, if we want to follow him. Here are the three things he says. First thing he says is that you must give up your own way. Your Bible probably says, deny yourself. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you have to give up your own way. Here's the thing. All of us have our way. We have a way of thinking. We have a way of feeling. And we have a way of behaving. All of us have a way about us. And Jesus says that if you want to follow me, you must give up your way. You must surrender your way. Now, our ways are fed by what we consume. Hear what I'm saying? The way that you are is a result of what you eat. You know the old saying, you are what you eat. So what we have to realize is that if we consume a diet that is filled with TV and movies and social media, that has an impact on the way that we think, what we believe to be true, how we feel, and how we behave. How many of us have felt good in the morning until we start scrolling through Facebook, and then all of a sudden everybody else's life looks like it's so much better than our life? I told y'all this before, but Facebook should be called Fake Book, not Facebook. Come on, somebody. Because it's not true. But we feed ourselves these things, and then we become discouraged about who we are because we think that somebody else is better than we are. And it impacts the way we think, the way we behave, and the way we feel. And all of us think that our way is right. We all think that our way of doing things, our way of being, is the right way. But Jesus says, if you are going to follow me, you must give up your way. He says, you got to give up. The way you think, you have to give it up. The way you feel, you have to give it up. The way you behave, he says, you have to give it up. And the way you give it up is by guarding your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart. Why? Because we are fed so much information. And this information not only changes the way we feel about ourselves, but it changes the way we feel about God. And the Bible says, guard your heart. Protect yourself from that. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to give up your way. You have to admit that your way is wrong. I know you're intelligent. I know you have degrees. I know you have life experience, but you don't know more than God. You don't know more than Jesus. You have not experienced more than God. Whatever way you think is right is the wrong way. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to man, but at the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, give up your way. Your way seems right, but it's not right. Your way seems reasonable, but it's not reasonable. Your way seems to be the best way, but it's not your best way. His way is the best way. Listen, and I know that not getting your way is frustrating. It's frustrating for kids, and it's frustrating for adults. We all want to have it our way. And there are some people who have started out following Jesus, but then realize if you follow him, you can't have your way. So we turn away from him. They say, it's too much. I cannot have my way and follow Jesus at the same time. Jesus says, give up your way. Deny yourself if you want to follow me. Then, that wasn't bad enough. The second thing he says to do is take up your cross. It's one thing to deny myself. It's one thing to say, Tim, you can't have it your way. But then he says, take up your cross. That means embrace suffering. Don't fight the suffering. Because when you follow me, you will suffer. The Bible says, he that will live godly shall suffer persecution. Here's the problem. This is why Jesus had to say this. Because earlier in the text, Jesus tells his disciples, listen, I'm going to suffer many things. They are going to crucify me, and I am going to die. He said, and I want to talk plainly to you. I want you to understand what's getting ready to happen to me. And what happened? Peter rose up and said, not so. Not as long as I'm alive, not on my watch. You're not going to suffer. They're not going to kill you. No, I'm going to stop that. It is not right. We will defend you to the end. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Huh? He said, get behind me. That's a lie. I came for this reason. I came for this purpose. And I know you don't want me to go through it, but this is why I came. Hallelujah. I came to suffer. I came to die, because if I don't die, you can't live. And the only one who doesn't want you to live is Satan. So get behind me, Satan. Lord, have mercy. See, that's what social media says. Social media says that you can be saved and live all kind of ways. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to go down. Social media tells you that whatever you do, it can be wonderful. And we need to say, get behind me, Satan. The Bible says, I shall suffer persecution. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. For unto us it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer what for his sake. So when the world tells us you don't have to put up with that, you say, get behind me, Satan. When the world tells you it don't take all of that, you say, get behind me, Satan. When the world tells you that you can live one way on Sunday and another way during the week, you can say, get behind me, Satan. It says, take up your cross. You're going to suffer. Can I tell you, most of the time we think of suffering as external. Something happens to us on the outside. And it causes us to suffer. But I think that the greatest part of our suffering is the crucifixion of our flesh. You want to know what hurts? Is when I see other people doing things that I want to do, but for the sake of the gospel, I tell my flesh no. You want to know what makes me weary? It's when the world is saying that my fleshly desire is okay and I have to look at the cross and crucify my flesh for the sake of the gospel. Can I tell y'all, probably never heard a pastor tell you this, but let me tell you, there are some desires in your flesh that are never going to go away. That's why the Apostle Paul said you must crucify your flesh daily. every day. I said no on Monday, but here come Tuesday. I killed it on Monday night, but when I rose on Tuesday, it rose with me. I'm not going to talk about y'all. I'm talking about me. I killed it on Thursday night, but Friday night when I was brushing my teeth, he was brushing his. So I had to kill him daily. And why is it that the world can enjoy these pleasures and I can't? Why is it that people can have their way, but I can't? For the sake of the gospel. We suffer internally, not doing things that we have the right to do for the sake of the gospel. Not doing things that we have the money to do for the sake of the gospel. Not doing things that we have the opportunity to do for the sake of the gospel. And we lick our wounds because of his wounds. We endure our suffering because he endured suffering for us. Yeah. It says, take up your cross. I died for your sins. You die to your sins. And you do it every day. Third thing he says, follow me. Give up your way, take up your cross, and follow me. Go where I go. In order to follow him, you must keep your eyes on him. When all the distractions and the noise of the world comes your way, you have to keep your eyes on him. When the world is whispering, come over here, go over there, meet me here, meet me there, keep your eyes on him and follow him. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What does that mean? That means God has ordered steps in our life. You may feel lost, but you are never lost because your steps are ordered by the Lord. And I love that. I love the way the scripture reads it because speaking of all the things that are at our fingertips, I love Amazon. And Amazon comes to our house 2 or 3 times a week. And Sister Dana and the girls are part of the reason Amazon comes to our house every week. Amen, somebody. Y'all pray for me. But the thing about Amazon, you go on Amazon and you order what you want. And if you don't get what you ordered, you send it back. And God, in all of his wisdom, when he created us, he had a plan for us. He had a destiny for us. And in order to take us from where we start to where we will end, he had to order our steps. So he went on and said, in order for them to get here, they're going to have to go this way. So I need 5 steps that way and 10 steps that way. He ordered our steps. Hallelujah to God. So some things happen because God ordered our steps. But here is the thing. When you follow God, that means you don't get to choose what direction your life goes in. Here we go, back up on that cross, that you are fully grown. You can do whatever you want to do, but if you are a follower of Jesus, you don't get to choose what you want to do. Whew, it's quiet in here. You don't get to tell your maker what he should do with you. You don't get to decide your purpose. You don't get to decide the direction of your life. You must go wherever God leads you. Let me share this with you. I had no plans on ever living in Minnesota. I love y'all. Trust me, I love you. I really do. But I had no plans on living in Minnesota. I grew up in Maryland. My plan was to live in New York. I said, I'm going to graduate from high school, and I'm going to go be a New Yorker. Graduated from high school, ended up in New Orleans. And the closest I got to living in New York is when I lived in New Jersey. That's the closest I got to New York. But nowhere in my plan did I plan on being in Minnesota. I'm going to tell y'all, when we moved here 12 years ago, 13 years ago, Dana had a one-year contract. And I said, okay, Lord, we can be here 1 year. 13 years later, I'm still here. Are y'all glad about it? Huh? Never in my plan did I imagine that I would be pastoring and serving in Minnesota. But here's the thing. I gave up my right to choose what I wanted to do when I chose him. I gave up my right to make decisions on what is best for me when I chose him. I gave up my right to say, I don't like that direction. I don't want to go there. I don't want to stay there. I gave all of that up to follow him. Hallelujah to God. Why? Because I trust his judgment. Here's the key. Do you trust him? It is easy to follow somebody you trust. If you trust them, you can close your eyes and listen to their voice. If you trust them, you will hold their hand and close your eyes. And wherever they take you, you don't question it. Listen, I had to do some things, go around different places this week, and I got lost. So I put in my GPS where I wanted to go. And my GPS was telling me a way that was different than the way that Dana told me. And Dana's pretty good at directions. But this time, I decided that I was going to go the way the GPS told me to go. And the words that came out of my mouth, this here's what God hit me. I said, I don't know which way this GPS is taking me, but I trust it'll get me home. And when I said that, immediately I got convicted. God was like, you trust the Jeep. I told you to go somewhere and you questioned me. You had to fast about it. You had to wait on it. But the GPS that was made by man, you said you don't know where it's taking you, but you trust it to get you home. Lord, y'all, I think I'm going to have to extend my fast. I got so rebuked that I would trust something that man made for direction more than the God that made the man. Here is the thing. Following Jesus requires that you trust that he will get you home safely, even if you don't know the direction that he's taking you. Lord, help me. I didn't know on my way home I would go through sickness. I didn't know on my way home I would go through trouble. I didn't know that my life would take so many twists and turns. But God, I trust you. Hallelujah. That you know the way that I take and you will get me to my destination safely. Come on. We trust technology more than we trust God. Help us, Lord. Jesus says, you want to follow me? Give up control of your life. Take up your cross and follow me. Verse 25, we're almost done. Verse 25, he says, here's the thing. This says, Tim Brewington, written all in it. He says, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Oh, man. Here's the challenge. Because we come over here and we're still trying to hang on to our life. Our instinct says, don't give up control of your life to anybody, because nobody is going to take better care of you than you. Our instinct says you got to make sure that you don't surrender control to anybody else. So you hold on to your life. You hold on to the reins of your life. And Jesus said, if you hold on to your life, if you try to maintain control of your life, he says, you're going to lose it. He said, you lose it. The one thing that you try to hold on to, he said, you're going to lose it. He says, I'm telling you right now, the only way to gain your life is to let it go. Listen, we have freedom to choose what we're going to do with our life. And we don't ever want to give that up. But that's the very thing Jesus said. If you want to follow me, let go of your life. Surrender your life over to my control. If you don't do that, you're going to lose it. The very thing that you're trying to hold on to, you're going to lose. The very thing that you're fighting for, you're going to lose. He says, let go of your life. Let's take it another level. Let go of the plans you have for your life. Let go of the dreams that you have for your life. I know we live in a culture that tells you you got to have a plan and you should. You ought to have dreams and you should. But I serve a God that says if you hold on to your life, you will lose it. But if you let it go for my sake, you'll gain it. Listen, I'm a living witness. I'm so glad that things did not work out for me the way that I planned it. I'm so glad that my plans failed. I'm so glad that the things that I tried on my own didn't work out. I'm so glad that the things that I approached without consulting God, I'm glad it failed. And guess what? I'm glad your plans for your life failed too. I'm glad that what you thought you were going to do didn't work out. I'm glad that where you thought you were going to be didn't work out. I'm glad that your plans failed, because the plans that God has for you is much better than any plans you can have for yourself. I'm so glad for every door that I knocked on that didn't open. I'm glad for every opportunity that I pursued that didn't come through. I am thankful that no matter how many times I asked him, he said no. Anybody thankful that God said no? Hallelujah to God. Because my life is better now than it ever would have been if my plans would have worked out. Can I tell you the truth? If my plans would have worked out, I would probably be in my grave right now. If I was able to do everything I wanted to do, I would have killed myself. So I'm so glad that God said, nope, you will surrender your life over to me, and it's keeping me alive. He says, if you let it go, you'll gain it. Hallelujah. If you let me have it, I'll give it back to you. Hallelujah to God. Anybody glad that you surrendered your life over to the living God, and what you wanted to do, he didn't let happen? God, I thank you. Hallelujah that my business plan didn't work out. I thank you that my ministry plan didn't work out. I thank you that my relationship plan didn't work out, because what he has for me is better than anything I could want for myself. I'm glad they didn't return my call. I'm glad I didn't get hired at that job. I'm glad about it. The devil wants you to be upset about it. No, I'm glad for every so-called missed opportunity, because my steps are ordered. Verse 26. God is changing somebody's perspective this morning, that it didn't work out because it wasn't supposed to work out. So you ought to thank God for everything that didn't work out. That's too much for Sunday. Verse 26, it says, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul, is anything worth more than your soul? What do you benefit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? For many years, we interpret verse 26 to mean, what does it profit a man if he gain the world and all that the world has to offer, and then he dies, loses his soul, and ends up in hell? It says, what's the benefit? You gain all that the world has to offer, but you lose your soul. I want to submit to you that if we stop at that for the interpretation of what Jesus is saying, then we've missed some of what he's saying. If you look in the original context of this scripture, first thing you have to understand is that your soul is the center of your personhood. Your soul is the essence of who you are. Your soul is the core of your identity. Your soul is what makes you not a plant, not a bird, not any other living creature. Your soul is who you are. And I submit to you that you can lose your soul before you die. You can lose the essence of who you are before you die. You can lose the core of your identity, the thing that God created you to be, before you die. So Jesus is warning us that if we pursue the things of the world, it could cause us to lose the essence of who we are. Yeah, that you can have money, but you don't know who you are. You can have a million followers on Instagram, but you don't know who you are. You can be advanced in technology, but you don't know who you are. I know a lot of people who have a lot of stuff, but they have lost who they are. Come on, you could go through this life and receive all the things of the world. And Jesus says, what gain is it if you have all the things that the world has to offer you, but you don't know who you are? That's why you can be rich and depressed. That's why you can be popular and lonely. Come on. That's why you can be strong in the things of the world and then weak at home, because the world doesn't define who you are. There's nothing that the world can give you to make you who you are. If you want to know who you are, you got to ask the one that made you. And Jesus said, if you seek the world, you'll lose who you are. He said, don't do it. Don't lose who you are. Gaining all these things in the world. Oh, I'll be happy when I get this. I'll be better when I get that. Then you get it and you're still not happy. Why? Because those things don't make you happy, because they're not connected to who you are. And Jesus says, don't be distracted by the things of the world, because the things of the world will rob you of who you are. These distractions are designed to cause us to lose who we are. What would it profit to gain the world, but you don't know who you are? We have to find a quiet place so that we can hear the voice of God. We got to get to the place where the voice of God is raised above all of the noise that we hear. We're fasting because we're trying to shut off these distractions. We're fasting because we're shutting the mouth of the world so that we can hear the voice of God. We're fasting because we are admitting that our eyes got big when we saw all the things that the world has to offer, and we've started to pursue the things of the world, and we are weak in our spirit, and we've lost who we are because we're fascinated by all the new stuff that's in the world. These things come and distract us. We've got to make up our minds that no matter how many distractions there are in the world, we are going to follow Jesus. We've got to commit ourselves to daily prayer and reading the word. And I know we say, listen, Pastor, I don't have an hour a day to pray, read the Bible. I don't have an hour a day to worship and be quiet and meditate. Let me challenge you. Stop watching TV one day. See how much time you have. Don't get on social media one day. See what time, how much time you have. Here's what I know about people. We always have enough time to do what we want to do. If you didn't do it, that means you didn't want to do it. We always have time for priority. People who say they don't have time to pray will get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym so they can work out before they go to work. People who don't have time to pray, let there be a birthday party on the busiest day of the year, they'll make time for the birthday party. Here's what I'm saying. If you are too busy to pray, you are too busy. Busyness is a distraction. Can I hurt somebody's feelings? Even if you are busy doing ministry, if your ministry activity makes it so that you don't have time or you're too tired to pray, you're too busy and God is not pleased. Okay, let me hurt somebody else. Let me hurt my own feelings. If you are so busy feeding the poor, clothing the naked, working the ministry, but you don't have time to spend with God, it's a distraction. Satan would love for you to be so busy doing good that you don't have time to connect with God. Because I say, oh, Pastor, I'm not on social media, so this message ain't for me. But you're busy doing something. Some of us are distracted by our own opinion. That God says something and our opinion gets involved and we get distracted by our own opinion. Some of us are distracted by our trouble. How many of y'all know trouble is a distraction? Trouble comes and, well, I can't focus on anything else but my trouble. The adversary's plan is to distract us from the things of God, that we don't follow Jesus. These distractions, you can stand to your feet. We're going to pray. These distractions are robbing us of our true identity in God. I'm concerned that because of these distractions that we don't know who we are anymore. We don't know the power that we have as believers. We don't know the promises that God has made us. I'm concerned that we're too busy doing the right thing that we've stopped following Jesus. Surrendering control of your life over to Jesus is the best thing you could do for yourself. Following Jesus is not the easy way, but it's the best way. Distractions will come. There were things that will pop up in our life. There's something new every day. But we can't allow these distractions to stop us from following Jesus. Hear the word of the Lord today. Focus your attention on Him. Be intentional about removing anything that pulls you away from Him. What God wants for you is better than anything you could want for yourself. Don't be distracted by the things of this world. Distractions are going to increase. New things are being produced every day. And Jesus is saying to us today, Don't be distracted by those things. Stay focused on me. Keep your eyes on me. My promise is still good. My plan is still in effect. Quiet the noise around you so that you can hear me. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, God, that you always know what we need when we need it. And so we thank you, Lord, that you loved us enough to speak to us today about the distractions that have come in our way. God, we acknowledge that some of us are distracted. We spend way too much time engaging in things that have no eternal value. We have embraced the identity of social media and what social media says we should be. We have embraced the identity that those over 200 channels have told us what we should desire, what we should pursue. They tell us where we should live and what we should dress and what we should drive, and even tells us what to do with our body so we can look a certain way. And God, it erodes our identity, and we've lost who we are in you because we've adopted the identity of the world. But God, today we come and we deny ourselves. Once again, God, we give up our own way. We acknowledge that our way is wrong and your way is right. We repent this morning, God, for thinking that we know what is best for us. We repent, God, for thinking that our plan is a better plan than the plan that you have for us. We repent this morning and we surrender our blueprint, our plans. We surrender it over to you. Hallelujah. God, we surrender control of our life over to you, God. Even in our fear, we surrender control of our life over to you, God. We place no demands on you. We say, have your way in our lives, God. You created us and you get to choose what to do with our life. Give us the grace to trust you. Even in our suffering, give us the grace to trust you. As we take up our cross, give us the grace to trust you. Lord, because you said if we suffer with you, we shall reign with you. And you reign forever. So our temporary suffering turns into an eternal reign of glory with you. And so we fix our eyes on you this morning, God. I pray that every person in this room right now, that our attention would shift from the things of this world and our eyes will be clearly fixed on you. Ah, glory, that we will see you, hallelujah, in all your glory, that we will desire you in all your ways, God, in the name of Jesus, that no matter how loud the voices of the world are, your voice will be the loudest voice that we hear, and when you speak, we shall follow. Yes, God, we thank you as we close this prayer. We thank you that whatever steps you have ordered for us, you promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us.